She's already gang.
Like, open the computer, connect to the Wi-Fi, go to X. It happened on X, gang.
X.
It happened on
X. Ruler Elon Musk, you're using his site. Go ahead. You're providing content for his site.
Well, I mean, I'm getting something on the back end. I got a Tesla onesie went out the door the other day.
Oh, nice on that.
So that's still going.
I went up into my Tumblr cabinet. I'm like, where did I get this? It's a Tesla Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh yeah, the master gave me that.
Kaboom.
That was great. Thank you for that.
That was new sealed.
Speaking of compliments for you.
Yes.
I was printing labels today, and I was like, remember when I used to have to tape these things?
what a miserable existence.
I slapped a sticker on, because I remember you used to do that back in the day. You used to just slap the sticker on, and I'd be like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that because of you. And so for that reason, I brought you a gift. Now,
wow.
After we acclimated, you went past your refrigerator, which is basically a safe for Tab.
Yeah. Whole bottom level pretty much is devoted to it.
You pulled out a can. I said, don't open it.
You did say, don't open it. I'm wondering why.
Because I have a gift for you.
Is it something that's going to make it easier to open this can? Or
You just sit there and look pretty. Kaboom, kaboom.
Holy fucking shit, dude.
How about that?
Where'd you get this?
Tell me what it is.
It's a Coca-Cola Spiced.
Coca-Cola Spice.
Spiced Zero. I saw a fucking ad for this in the subway when I was in New York.
Really?
And I was like, I need it. I haven't seen these anywhere.
When were you in New York?
A couple weeks ago.
Okay. Because I was thinking maybe that's from Halloween or something. They did like a spiced, you know, like a pumpkin spiced Coca-Cola.
No, it's for some reason it says spiced, but it's raspberry spiced.
Okay. Well, I was just doing my walk around the block, you know, to commune with nature,
mm-hmm,
before I come here and get inundated with society.
Technology and so forth, yes.
Anyway, someone just had like a, you know what I mean? Like a 16-pack, whatever those long, however many's in a long.
Like a case, basically, or
basically,
whatever.
It was just sitting there. It said free. So I took one for you.
Oh, so the idea is that somebody probably bought it, tried one, was repulsed.
Yeah.
And then put it on.
That's another reason I was thinking Halloween. I go, this must be pumpkin spiced. They drank it. They don't want it.
Well, I mean, if someone's repulsed by it, that's probably going to mean that I'm going to become obsessed with it and then we'll never be able to find it again.
Are we doing a live taste test?
Yeah. I'm going to crack this.
All right.
I hope that this is like Coca-Cola coffee all over again. Do you remember Coca-Cola coffee?
Yeah, Coca-Cola coffee. I'm hoping
so,
too.
Fuck, I love that.
Anyway, here we go. I've got a sealed can in my collection, so I brought this one to be consumed. She popped it. She sipped it.
It's good.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Pour some into my matcha glass here.
Well, first you got to drain the matcha. I can taste. I don't know what they mean by spice.
I smell it already. Yeah, it smells like a Cherry Coke.
It's like Cherry Coke elevated.
Let me take a sip.
Okay, here we go.
I won't rush through it. That was some Angry Orchard type stuff. She didn't let it breathe. She just popped it and sucked it. Here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah, there's something there. It's like a sweet tarts. It's like a Coke with sweet tarts.
Oh, I was going to say, it kind of tastes like if you dropped one of those, like, remember those...
Antacid? Alka-Seltzer into a soda?
No, like fruit rope.
Oh, yeah.
Like a raspberry fruit rope.
Oh, yeah, like those... yeah, it was like a paper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You put that in a Coke Zero, mm-hmm, let it gestate for a little while. Wow.
It has a strange... immediate aftertaste, but then it doesn't have a weird after linger, whatever these words would be. I don't know.
You're the food guy, man. You're the weird Al of this show.
But I'm not
talking about food all the
time. I've never delved into wine and what the different wines do and how they taste.
I think that's bullshit.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you can obviously taste the difference between good wine and bad wine. But I think like wine culture and like beer snobs, these are just people that have no rich inner lives that are trying to make
themselves.
What
about me? I'm a music snob.
Well, that's, music is not a consumable.
Okay.
Music is life.
But I mean,
like, but I'm saying people that are like, you know what I mean, that are really into like,
yeah, this, their
pasting
niche.
Shit.
They're niching it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're just doing that. You're overcompensating for the fact that you don't have actual personality. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think people can niche out and still have a personality, but I agree with you. A lot of those people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay,
food,
so we've reached
food, like,
middle ground.
Listen, this may be secret ground right here, but I was never into Bourdain, and I was doing Bourdain jokes very soon after because it proved my thesis.
Which is?
That running around to eat these foods is not the way to fill.
Oh, it's not going to solve your problem.
Yeah. Like if you, I'm going to go down to Nicaragua and eat bull tacos during the Aurora Borealis. Like,
turns out the demons follow you to Nicaragua.
Thank you. Do some inner work. Thank you. Do some inner work. But I evidently, you know, him and that woman he was with, they had a weird death wishy type thing going on or something.
I can't purport to have intimate knowledge of the life before death of Anthony Bourdain.
Well,
I apologize.
I have picked up his book, Kitchen Confidentials.
Is it good?
I've just started it. I've just started to dig into
Bourdain.
You're
a couple pages in.
But he's very, he's Mr. Unapologetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Why should a pig get to live if I could have a party in my mouth? And we see what happened with that. I'm not saying he wasn't a good guy or mm-hmm. he didn't provide good entertainment.
He seemed smart. He liked good music.
It was kind of a pipe dream, that whole thing, I think.
Take a sip. And take it right here.
On this episode
of Grift.
Go.
Grift Horse.
All right, now since we're taking down sacred cows, go ahead with your...
Here we go. I pulled it up. This is something I saw as soon as it dropped yesterday, and my reaction was to immediately text it to Howard with just the commentary, kaboom. Folks, do you think I received a response at all?
No,
here's
because
the answer.
I'll tell you why.
No.
I'll tell you why. Because texting is a terrible form of communication, and I have things to say, so why waste them on a text? Why waste sit there trying to compose the right thing on a text when I like, I'll see her tomorrow. We'll do this on the microphone.
I mean, would you prefer that I would have FaceTimed you and told you to sit down at your computer and go to www.twitter.com?
We're not going sideways. I don't prefer FaceTime. I see a text that's aimed at me. I don't take the bait. Let's wait till tomorrow and discuss it like human beings.
Well, today is tomorrow, and here's the tweet from filmmaker Boots Riley. Now is as good a time as any to tell people that Rick Rubin is a behind-the-scenes right-winger who tries to recruit music industry folks to QAnon-type stuff and is who, according to Kanye, convinced Kanye to meet Candace Owens and endorse Trump. He just looks like a hippie.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. Number one, I don't doubt it. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, I'll say fine.
Okay.
I'll say fine. Maybe he is that way. I have a few questions.
Let's go.
Number one. Well, first let me make a statement. Then I'll get into my questions. Now listen, I broke from Rick Rubin originally when the Beastie Boys had a problem with him. And that goes all the way back to Paul's Boutique, okay?
So what was the Beastie's problem with him?
That, you know, it was like he was taking too much credit or money or one of those
mm-hmm,
kind of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
seems
it's
possible.
Not like I'm sitting here like, you know, I was not Rick Rubin fan club through all of his periods, okay? I like what he did with Def Jam. I didn't hear enough to make me not like him. And then when he became Barefoot Beard Guy.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was good. If I had to go make an album, I would not want to make it with a guy who's not wearing shoes.
Yeah.
I got to
yeah.
look at his feet all the time.
Yeah.
But still, I didn't feel like that proved that he did nothing on all the albums. People sing as like, oh, he doesn't do anything. And of late, that might be the case now that he's just a made man and he sits there like a deity.
Okay, well, he doesn't even sit. He lays.
Right.
And that's the thing.
I'm not the champion of modern day Rick Rubin. I'm just saying executive producers can have no musical knowledge of anything and still be good executive producers. We don't know what he brought out of people that wouldn't have been brought out. We weren't there. We don't know. But I'm saying is the Def Jam stuff still sounds good to me, and I still know it was innovative. Did he become something else? Yeah, fine. Now, what if you got $10 million a week for doing your Substack, and everywhere you went for 30 years, everybody told you how great it was? We might see you in some flowing robes.
Well, you do see me in flowing robes.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of eccentric dressing, she's got like five different shades of blue on. She's got on blue pants,
blue socks,
blue shirt, all different shades.
It's gray. The shirt is gray, my guy.
What's the one on top of it?
Blue.
There you go.
Wait. Re-fucking-wind. Why don't you look down while you're saying this?
Oh, yeah, but I'm...
Blue short.
I'm not the one.
Blue vest. Blue hat.
I'm not the one.
Blue black undershirt.
We are wearing the same colors.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on from that. Now, let me ask you this. That part of that text there,
yes,
part of that tweet, pits his word against Kanye's word. So in that sense, within that grouping of words, you are pro Kanye. You're team Kanye.
Well, here's Kanye obviously is an unreliable.
You read the whole tweet?
I read the whole tweet, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Kanye obviously is an unreliable narrator because he's so profoundly mentally ill, he doesn't make any sense anymore. However.
What he's saying is, hey, Kanye told me this.
However, well, I don't think Kanye told Boots Riley this specifically. I don't think Kanye interacts with anybody other than his wife anymore.
According to Kanye,
Rick Rubin convinced him to meet Candace Owens and endorse Trump.
Okay, so that's Exhibit A. You'll concede that one point.
I will concede that Kanye West is an unreliable narrator.
Why is now as good as time as any? You had this information, but then now's as good. Why wasn't last week's as good as any?
I don't know.
Not denying the information or defending Rick Rubin or discrediting Boots Riley. But why is now? Why is now?
I think it's just the way that he started the tweet. I mean, it's like, I don't think, because we know
he was sitting on that info.
There hasn't been anything.
Why is now the good time?
Because why not? I mean, it's like Rick Rubin's not going to get any more or less famous.
But he held on to this. He held on to this while Rick was being lauded and applauded.
Well, in fairness, QAnon has only existed for the past few years.
Give me a break. The QAnon's been around at least 7-8 years.
That's a few.
Okay, so now is as good a time as any.
Do you want Boots Riley to be our first guest on this podcast so you can get
go sideways?
So you can get him to just unpack this tweet.
Delvin, you know what I'm saying? I believe it. It's fine.
We got to take a fucking road trip to Oakland to find Boots Riley and get him to explain why he gatekeeped the information about Rick Rubin being involved in QAnon.
I don't need to do any of that. I just need to say, I concede my points right away. I don't mind saying you're right on this, this, and this. I don't know if you have the same open mind with my points.
And your points are...
I just told you. And also,
your
another
point,
thing.
Your primary point is that Rick Rubin did something good like 30 years ago, so he has the right to eat lunch on it till he dies?
No, but I'm saying it's understandable that he could get weird. He's been out of the rat race since the 80s, and he's still a young man. If my creative projects that I was working on in my young 20s took off, I'm financially set for life. And number one, I'm not here doing grift horse.
Wow. Folks, well, I mean, you heard it first.
I'm just saying that the circumstances wouldn't have put me here.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like if you were to get huge tomorrow, you'd be like, fuck Keister.
Oh, no. I still live the same way. I'd okay. Like, I still get excited about a DVD.
Well, the thing is, Rick Rubin purports
Rick
to be...
Rick
Rubin.
Oh, don't give her you, a soda.
You brought the spice.
Oh, my God.
Don't bring the spice if you can't handle the heat.
That ain't a tab. You gotta pace yourself.
Rick Rubin purports to be, you know, like Mr. Spirituality, Mr. Fucking I'm one with the universe, yeah. ETC,
that's
ETC.
Not, you know what I'm saying?
That lies in contrast
that's not
to supporting
Trump.
That's
what I was nodding in my head to in the 80s, going, wow, this sounds good. It wasn't Rick going, you know, I just let Tom Petty do what he needs to do. That wasn't it. He morphed into that.
Folks, what do you think? Send us an email, grifterspot@gmail.com.
Okay, so everybody can be right. All right, now let me give you, because Boots Riley calls out the state of America and stuff. Let me do that in my own way.
Okay.
Listen to this. And this is the state of America, and this is the state of Woodgrill as well.
Oof.
I go into Woodgrill, and I make my selections, and I go up to the front. And she says, I go, I got an exchange. She says, oh, I don't know. I go, what? She goes,
well, I don't know.
One manager just went to lunch and the other one's in the back having a meeting.
Okay.
And I'm just like, this just exposes your absolutely inane policy of having to go get a manager. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you've just made it so now you can't even perform your function as a business. So she goes, I'll go back there, see what the vibes are. And then she came out again. She goes, yeah. I'm like, oh, they're not coming out. She goes, no. She goes, do you want to come back later or whatever? I'll put this stuff aside. I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't go back. F that, right?
Yeah, that's insane.
Then I go, I had another comedy show in Glendale, right?
Yeah.
So I go, all right, I'll stop at their wood grill over there, buy some books before I go to wait for my spot. So I go over there, make my selections. Mm-hmm. I go up to the front and she's doing the exchange and she goes, oh, man. She goes, there's a chain. Like, I have some money left over.
Okay.
So I go, I'll just donate it. So she goes, oh, I got to find out exactly how much it is.
That has happened to me before, yeah. And okay. Then it becomes a whole fucking thing where they got to get, like, a different person to come over she to did, figure out how did, to donate the $1.87 or whatever.
She didn't need a different person, but she goes, I got to pull up my calculator. She goes, I can't math. I can't math. Right. So then she's doing it.
It's the 21st century, though. I mean, I can't math anymore either, to all be right, completely honest. I used to be good as hell at that.
Okay. But here was the thing. The amount that I had on credit was $1,246.
Yeah.
Okay. The amount that of new stuff I brought was $1,196.
Mm-hmm.
$1,246.
That would be 50 cents.
Yeah. Which I knew before she even told me any of this stuff. I'm like, it's 50 cents. You know what I mean?
Did you tell her it's 50 cents?
No.
You didn't want to?
I was like, I gotta, you know what I mean? I'm just letting people do what they had to do.
Sure, sure.
So then I'm saying,
well, let's see it. Don't rock the boat. You know, you rock the boat. Maybe you might be exposed as a bad actor or something.
Right.
Just
let them do it.
Them do whatever they think they have to do.
Yeah, it's inane. Let them do it. So then she goes, yeah. She goes, this is why I don't have some big corporate job. That's why I'm here. I go, you don't want that pressure. She goes, I really don't. And, you know, I was just, you know, I was Studs Terkel in it, interviewing the common man. But everybody's overworked and nobody knows what they're doing. Congrats on that.
Congrats on that.
Out the door.
Congratulations, America.
Out the door today, Mr. T book. Paperback book, Mr. T. $25 out the door.
Jesus. Plus shipping?
Plus shipping.
Wow.
To a guy in Glendale. How about that? It's
beautiful.
Full circle.
Beautiful
so
stuff.
I leave the wood grill with my books, put them in the car, go to the gig. Get to the gig completely empty, deserted. No audience, no comics, no guy who runs the show.
I'm sorry? Right? Where was it at? Was it in like a bar or something?
It's a, the Glendale Room in Glendale, which looks like a bookstore. It's just, for some reason,
there's
the guy,
books. I've seen pictures of it. I've never been there.
Yeah, it's just filled with books.
Right.
So even in my mind, I was like, oh, I could like probably grab a book out of there. They wouldn't care. It's just there for decoration or whatever. Anyway, I pull up, I walk up and I'm like, what the hell's going on? So there's this old guy there, long-haired old guy. He goes, they're not having a show tonight. And I go, I don't know what's going on. I go, do you come to this a lot? And he goes, I prefer the open mic. He just starts, you know, telling me his life story.
Yeah.
He just did, he goes, it took him 2.5 years. He just did his first open mic.
So like he's been going to the open mic and watching it as a citizen for 2.5 years.
It sounded like that. Like he goes, I couldn't find a collaborator. I don't know, whatever he said. So he's this old guy, right? So he goes, so as we're just talking, I'm texting the guy to see what's going on. And then I'm just like listening to this guy. It's mm-hmm. just one of those situations life puts you in. I'm just standing there with this guy. And he says, how much were they paying you for the gig? I go, nothing. I go, you know, a lot of gigs here in LA, you just don't get paid.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what would you get paid for like a regular gig? And I go, it just fully depends on the gig.
Des Moines? What do you mean by a regular gig?
Yeah, and he just did his first open mic night. He's got all these money questions. You know what I'm saying?
So he's in it for the right reasons.
Exactly. So then he's like, what about Vegas? What about, like, if you were headlining a night in Vegas, what would you get?
Like if I'm John Lovitz performing at the fucking Laugh Factory in Las Vegas?
I go, dude, I can't answer the question. There's so many different variables. It's crazy, right? So then he goes, hey, come on over to this bar. Let me pick your brain. Let me pick your brain. And it was it wasn't even like a bar. It was like an Armenian wedding hall where they're just like, you know, playing crazy music and you don't know what's going on. So let me pick your brain. I go, nah, dude, there's not much to pick. So then I just start walking back to my car, which is like 5 blocks away. He follows me the whole time.
Jesus.
And he's
Christ.
Still got money questions and all this stuff. And so then we get to the car and he's like, could I get a ride down to Brand? Like 1 block away from where we were. Now he needs me to take him back there. Right? I was like, all right. He gets in the car.
You said yes.
I said, yeah, come on. Get in. It's just one of those nights where everything's going wrong. And
well, what did like the person who showed it was text you back? Did you go on the wrong day or something?
Oh, they go, none of the comics showed up. Which is just like,
okay.
It's an odd thing too, because I'm one of them and I'm there. Like, what? None of them showed up. And so he forgot to text me, basically forgot to text me to say they're bailing on the show.
Got it.
Which, anyway, that whole part's weird. So I'm driving him the 6 blocks down to Brand. Sorry, guys, this has nothing to do with grifts, but it'll be over very quickly.
No, it does have something to do with grifts. What you do is you show up at a abandoned venue, wait for some comic to show up
and then
harangue them for so long they just drive you somewhere to get you out
you
of
know,
their
this
life.
This guy was a testament to like, sometimes you feel like, why do I got to grift or why do I got to worry about these microtransactions? Like this guy is a basket case. He's asking about money after one open mic night. So I drive him down to the thing. And he's jumping out of the car and he goes, all right. He goes, maybe I'll see you on TV one day. And I go, I was on Comedy Central. And he goes, you were on Comedy Central? I go, yeah, I did a half hour. This is as he's getting out of the car. I go, yeah, I did a half hour. And he stops. He goes, how much did they pay you for that? And that, meanwhile, the light's green and I'm sitting in the middle of the street. And I go, dude, do not get into comedy for the money. Do not. And he goes, no, man. I was just saying, I gotta go.
Close the fucking
door. Fucking moron. Like, I mean, beyond. Could you imagine meeting someone and then just immediately just following them around? And another thing he said, he goes, this is just for the week anyway. He goes, by next week, I'll be long gone. I go, where are you going? He goes, Pasadena. Oh, I've never seen, who was that mass man? It was so off. And he used to play guitar and then he couldn't, his, I don't know. It was like,
he crushed his hand in a machine or something, or
was
what?
Like a guy trying to transition from music to comedy like age 60. And like, it was just, he's way behind.
That's
he's
miserable.
Way behind. But anyway, that's what happens when you go out to Glendale.
I mean, well, this interaction wasn't that bad, but the other day around here, Anthony and I were taking a walk, and there was like this kind of, you know, maybe tweakerish looking dude who was like, who asked me for a cig. And I gave him a cig. And
he it wasn't me.
It wasn't you. And I gave him a cig, and he like looks at Anthony. He's like, "You look like an actor. Like, have you been in anything?" And Anthony's like, "Yeah, I get. I mean, sometimes." And he's like, "You in the Screen Actors Guild?" And Anthony's like,
talking to an insider.
And Anthony's like, "Yeah." And the guy's like, "Oh, you must have made a lot of money then." And both me and Anthony at the same time, like, no.
Yeah.
Are you in the Screen Actors Guild?
Whoa.
That's the kind of tweakers we got in LA, baby.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
LA tweaker. Wild.
Kaboom.
Hey, do you need a... Oh, yeah, I did. Do you need a ride?
Yes, I want you to tell me where you went.
So I did Do You Need a Ride with Karen Kilgariff and
Chris Fairbanks.
They picked me up at the Manor, and then they just started driving. I didn't really tell them where I was going.
Here's a question. If Karen Kilgariff had picked you up at the Manor and said, "I have to go to the bathroom," what would you tell her?
I already thought about that beforehand. The answer was no.
Wow. Well, would you like lead her to the Chipotle down the street or something?
Yeah, My Lai, probably the Vietnamese place.
Okay.
But so they picked me up, and then it was raining. We started driving, and we were driving down Santa Monica. So I started telling them about Third Wheel, that club I'm doing stand up at, the fights, the quarters,
the whole nine.
Then we drove around. We went to coffee. I was like, "Why don't we go to that coffee, that new Quentin Tarantino coffee shop?"
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We went by there. It was closed. It was closed on a rainy day. So then we went to Starbucks. She breaks out the gift card that a fan had sent in. So it was a no-guilt visit. And I got a large iced coffee and a blueberry muffin.
Yum.
And then, by then we had finished the episode. We had a good time talking about it. I told them about the Griffs. And then off mic, I was telling them about the Suicide Girls Mansion and all that stuff. But, you know, like, I'm in fights and stuff with some of the people in my family. Some of them female, right?
Yeah.
And so then I think to myself, okay, I'm on their shit list, or they're not approving, or whatever it is. There's a rub there. Then I go, okay, who does approve, though? What females do I have the approval of? And I thought to myself, Megan effing Beth Keister, Karen effing Kilgariff.
A couple of real alpha females.
And Natty Natasha Leggero.
The trilogy of alpha females.
I mean, there's a lot of people in fights with females in their family dispersed throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
I could be in Des Moines, Iowa right now, and I'd be like, well, you know, Cindy, the checker at the 7-Eleven, at least she likes me. You know what I'm saying? I got a dream team. I got feminists. I got, you know what I'm saying?
It's big
time achievers, authors. I mean, it's like a dream squad of a female approval.
It's like having fuck, what's that? God, this would be much funnier if I could just say it immediately.
You may be dropping off the list.
It's like having Gloria Allred on retainer.
Thank you.
There we go.
Like if I was out here in the 70s, if I was out here in the 1970s,
mm-hmm.
it'd be like my friends are like you know, Lily Tomlin, Camille Paglia. Is she out here?
No. Well, no. And also, she's like 90s.
Oh, she's too old. Who's the other one? Gloria Steinem. Thank you. I know the name. Lily Tomlin, Gloria Steinem, and Elaine Boozler or something.
Elaine Boozler, exactly.
But I'm like, you know what I mean? It's almost like a, what's that? Like a Walter Mitty daydream. You know what I mean? Like, you don't like me? Oh, that's okay. Cher likes me. You know what I'm saying? Like one of those type deals.
Ooh, speaking of deals.
Yeah.
And Starbucks. Make sure when it's your birthday to go get your free shit. Today is Anthony's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday. Is that why you're separate today? That's his present.
He's at Sarah's just house kidding. Washing her eyeless dog. But he did you know that when it's your birthday at Starbonkers, okay, you don't just have to get a coffee or anything. You can get anything.
Really?
Including food.
For free?
Yes. You get one item for free on your birthday.
So if you get coffee, you can't get a food?
No. Okay. Well, it's like, why get coffee when you could get... When it was my birthday, I went to the Starbonkers and I got one of those like protein boxes where it's cheese and crackers and shit. Yeah. And it's like, normally they charge like $12 for it. You can get that even.
They give you a dusty one from the back. I didn't know that at all, to be honest with you. This is news to me. I always just think Denny's, and then I go, I don't want to go to Denny's.
Mm-mm.
I just had a birthday last month.
You could, if you had the Starbonkers app, you could have got some for free. Which is not to say that you can't get everything for free if you just complain about everything.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that still works, but I just don't.
That's work.
I kind of I don't like Starbucks in the first place.
Oh.
So it's kind of like... You know what I mean?
Like, you don't like the way the coffee tastes? They burn the beans type thing?
Yeah, kind of something like that. Well, then it's like, well, now I'm making matcha myself. The only thing I would have gotten at Starbonkers would be a matcha, because that's the only thing they don't fuck up. That doesn't taste like shit.
Right.
But now I'm making it myself for pennies on the dollar. It's like, you know what I mean?
I absolutely do.
You know what I mean? See how my hands raised like this? I'm going,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I did.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what I saw today real quick?
Yo.
The pack of parrots is back. Like, I had that wild pack of parrots. They showed up in the tree. I think it's a yearly thing. They must be migrating north at this point. And, yeah, I mean, I could show you a picture, but I saw, they're just like, it's so cool.
You give them peanuts?
No, I mean, I wasn't in a position to feed them. I was outside. They were like around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's, what a cool bonus. Just like fucking parrots.
Oh yeah, they're what do you call it? Colorful.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Maybe my sisters and mom are right.
Wow, such color. Ooh, oh, here's boy. Another birthday freebie. Kura revolving sushi bar. Have you
Spell
ever seen
it.
Those? K-U-R-A.
K-U-R-A?
K-U-R-A.
Okay.
It's a chain. I don't know if it's outside of California, too, but I've only seen them in California.
You've done it in L.A.?
There's one in Glendale. There's one in Koreatown. And if you get the damn app, you get a free dessert on your birthday. And so Anthony and I walked there yesterday to eat it.
Wait. Why did you walk?
Because it was only like 45 minutes away from Sarah's house.
Birthday, 45-minute walk, free. Wow.
I will say that it's like the revolving sushi bar, it's like value-wise, it's not like it's wicked cheap, really. It's just like everything's like $3.70, which is not...
Every
it's not,
roll?
No, every... Like, it's a revolving thing. The plates
Anything
revolve
you pull
around
off
you.
Out of there.
Yes, exactly. And it's like you can get a roll or you can get like two pieces of sushi, etc., etc. Everything's $3.70.
You steal the plate?
I did not. have I contemplated figuring out a way to... Because the way that they charge you is that like you take the plate, you know, and you eat the sushi and then you have to like feed the plate into
Over
this
a
thing.
Scanner? Really?
No, into this thing, like this, into
Dishwasher?
The table, basically.
Oh.
And then it like counts it when you put it in.
Oh, interesting. So you could not feed it in.
You could theoretically do that. But then, you know, you look up and there's like three cameras on you at any time to prevent you from doing that.
Sure, they watch.
But here's the thing. It's not a great deal necessarily, but it is a great deal entertainment-wise because it's dinner and a show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fun
you
to
could
watch
spend,
what's going on.
You could spend an hour and a half straight up in that just watching the fish go by. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And if it's your birthday, you get a free... It was some kind of... It was like a... It was like a
tea
fish.
Water. A water that was half tea.
It was like a deep fried fish shaped thing that had like red bean paste in it with ice cream. Not mad at that.
Birthday paste.
You know what I'm saying?
Nicely done.
BP.
And did you walk home too?
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Hold hands?
No.
Whoa.
Well, he was carrying bananas.
Oh, so it was also part of an errand?
Well, I mean, we're walking by the Food for Less on the way back. May as well get some bananas, you know?
Walk free, less,
Happy birthday to you.
Hey, congrats on all that.
Congrats. What's up? What are you going through on your phone?
I was just looking for something to show you, but I'm not going to show it to you.
Why?
Was it? It's not relevant.
Okay.
It's relevant to a different program. Mm. Check out Drop Day Duel, everybody. This past week, Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden versus Yard Party. What were they called? Yard Act. I forget. But they were like, you know, those new British bands where they just talk. They're English guys and they just like Art Brut, kind of. They just talk. Mm,
okay. Yeah.
That type of deal.
Got it.
Shout out to that.
Shout out to my grandmother who called me yesterday while I was in therapy. Left a message. Said to call her back, right? I call her back. She says she received a check in the mail that was like such and such versus Universal.
Whoa.
It was for $15.
Wait, right? Why did it go to her?
Well, she was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, it sounds like it's a class action suit. She's like, how did they know it was me? Or how did I know, you know, why am I getting this? And I was like, well, you must have been on the list of people that were part of
I thought it was somehow you filled it out for two people and used your grandma as a person.
Well, no, I think that's why she was calling. She was like, well, it's for Universal. I thought maybe it would be for you, but they addressed it to me. I was like, I don't work for Universal.
But why would she get a class action thing she didn't sign up for?
I don't know. But then I told her, it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, I go out of my way to sign up for class action lawsuits.
That's why she's thinking it's you.
She thought it was so funny.
Really?
She laughed and laughed and laughed.
Really?
And I wanted to be like, bitch, do you think me getting $1.25 from Budweiser Limerita is funny to you, dude?
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's my life, all right?
Yeah.
That's my culture and heritage, dude.
These women. Women are supposed to be supportive. You're having problems with your grandma.
Told her to cash the check.
You know, there's people you choose to be in your life, and they're called friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people you're forced to be with, like fascism and oppression.
Yeah.
That's called family. You know, it's weird. Like, even down at the club, I'll just be sitting there and I'll be like, what if that guy was my dad?
What do you mean?
Just like, it's just,
like, what if I was like contractually obligated to spend time with this fucking guy? Or is that what you mean?
Yeah, I was just thinking about kind of like, it's all luck of the draw, whether the kid that you have pops out and is like your dream kid or he's just suited to another life. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I never understood about people wanting to breed. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so you want like a version of you to go on. You want somebody to take care of you when you're older, whatever. You want a little buddy.
Right.
What if they fucking hate you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. To me, that was too big a risk.
It's a liability, dude.
Yeah. And then you see Seth Rogen's quote from the other day?
No.
He said, why don't I have kids? Because I'd rather sit around smoking pot all day than meet the needs of a little kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, good that I know that, rather than find that out.
After you already shit out the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, interesting stuff, gang. But if you do have a kid, congratulations to you, because it could be one of those magical revenue-producing kids.
Shout out to Seth Rogen, I will say, because one of my greatest regrets of the week, I talked about this behind the paywall, but earlier this week, I went over to the house of the proprietor of Suicide Girls, mm-hmm. who had abandoned, really, his house and everything in it. Spent 2 days schlepping tubs of pornography into my garage.
I Googled that. I couldn't find any information.
What, about the guy?
Yeah, like to see if he was in legal trouble or whatever it was.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I mean, I looked more into it. It's like, now he's into weed. He's got like multiple weed companies and shit.
Okay.
Whatever. But
he had a transition.
One of the things that was in the pile of stuff that was going directly to the dump that I don't know why I didn't take were, you know how like Seth Rogen has his own weed company?
Yeah.
Houseplant?
Yeah.
They were like vinyl records advertising like the Houseplant, basically.
Oh,
and I was like, these
God.
Can't really, these probably don't have any worth.
Oh my God.
And then I punished myself Fool. By looking it up on eBay.
Fool.
Like $150.
Each?
No, for all of them. It was like a set of three I could have sold these fucking things for.
Fool.
Foolish.
Second set of eyes might have helped.
Well, I mean, maybe we could go see if those realtors are still there and ask them what dump they took everything to.
Yeah, that's what I want.
You want to take a little field trip to the dump?
Not even dumpster diving. I want to go dump. I mean, that's not even diving. That's hiking. I want to go dump hiking.
So we can find a wet LP, a wet promotional LP.
Yeah. Austin Stories out the door. Thank you so much. Keep picking those up, gang. They are worth it. I posted an Instagram. This is Griff related, maybe. I posted an Austin Stories clip to Instagram, and I sold an Austin Stories like 20 minutes later. I'll never know if it's related or not.
Wow.
I guess I could ask the buyer. But social media, gang, turns out you can use it for selling. Check that out. Check out my social. Yeah, I'm starting to put up clips more regularly.
Wow.
For your entertainment pleasure.
Unbelievable. We got him on the phone, gang.
I wonder if that guy's been paid for comedy yet. The guy I gave a ride lesson.
He may have been paid to leave somewhere.
It's so fun. Like, to hang out at a club with 75 comics, and all of them are like trying to figure out how to scheme their way up to the next level or get on the road or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And some fucking old scraggly moron who's done it once. Is just all about what all he cares about is how much thinks this is some gravy
the idea
train.
That, like, yeah, exactly, that you think that you figured out a grift, right, by being like, oh, okay, I guess I'll pivot to comedy.
Yeah, like, none of the musicians are doing this. I'll do comedy.
Yeah, if you have experience doing music, don't you have experience doing something, quote, artistic, end quote, for nothing?
He was a fool. He was staying at the Y, too. I forgot to tell you that.
I didn't know you could still stay at the Y.
Yeah, see, it's a whole world.
Wow. I'm learning so much today.
Yeah. So, I mean, look at that. You know, he's from New York, right? He's just some schlub from New York.
Mm-hmm.
At least before Rick Rubin got all weird, he did something. He got from nothing to Def Jam. Was this guy, should I rather he be this guy? This guy might also be into QAnon and Trump, but I don't hear any records. And I mean, you know what I mean? Ted Nugent, I'll never defend because I hate all that hunting shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have, you know, Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Tang.
Is Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Tang even, is it worth it? Do you know what I mean?
No, but like, so as far as rock stars, he's bottom of the list because he is an asswipe.
Yeah.
But as far as guys who just go out and kill animals for fun, he did Wang Dang. You know what I mean? He did.
He's the one.
No, I'm just saying, he's high up on the list of hunters.
Oh, so it's like him, Donald Trump's kid.
No. Donald Trump's kid has no good records or redeeming anything.
Oh, you're saying Wang Dang, Sweet
Poon Tang. I'm saying for people who
good.
Go out and murder animals. He's the only one that at least made a record that I like. I'm saying he's the bottom of the list of musicians, top of the list.
Hunters. I guess I got a little confused when you say bottom of the list of musicians, and then you tell me that you like Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Tang.
Well, I like Stranglehold.
Okay.
What's his big tunes? Cat Scratch Fever.
Yeah.
Stranglehold. Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Tang. That one just because it's crazy. I don't even think the music's good. But all right, right there. There you go. So if you had 100 random hunters, I'd say, yeah, get rid of all of them and that one. But at least that one.
But at least that one.
Made some tunes.
When I was living in Cleveland, Ohio in the early aughts, I used to go to Alice Cooperstown, where mm-hmm. rock and sports collide all the time.
There you go.
And it was Alice Cooper Sports Bar. And there was always more people working there than patronizing it. It was like one of those kind of establishments, even though it was directly across from like where the Indians played.
Right.
But It was kind of like a Hard Rock cafe style where there's a bunch of shit on the walls, like a Jill Walsh fucking LP or whatever. Mm-hmm. But one of the things on the wall was just, it was an
He's
arrow.
He's from Cleveland. Do you know that?
Well, yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's the tie-in. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I just had to check.
but there was an arrow like going through the wall. And then there was like a plaque that said like it was, you know, it was Mr. Wang Dang Sweet Poontangs.
Oh, he shot the arrow through there?
Yeah. Great anecdote, right?
Yeah, I mean, F him. F him. but not F you. You guys are great. Thanks so much for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for supporting the show. Megan and I enjoy doing it for you.
Yep. Can't get enough of that funky stuff.
Check out her Substack, which is up and running.
Yep, we're back. We're back at it again.
Check out Drop Date Duel. Last week we had Bruce Dickinson and Yard Act. This week it looks like it's Judas Priest and somebody else. How about that? Judas Priest with a mean new record.
Mean. What's mean about it?
It just sounds a little harsher than most priests, even for their old age.
I mean, I will say, I was completely unaware that they were still releasing new albums.
They do. A lot of, I think, well, yeah, a lot of old bands put out records these days. I think it's because they're easier to make than, you know what I mean? Like if we slog through making this shit in the 70s, we could make it in 5 minutes compared to then. Let's might as well do it.
Well, because everything's digital now, basically. Like, you don't have to pay for all the tape, etc.
Listen to Smoke on the Water. They had a mobile truck. The whole thing caught fire. It was like a pain in the ass back then. Smoke on the water.
Folks, what's the pain in your ass? Send us an email, grifthorsepod@gmail.com.
Let us know. I look forward to your misunderstanding responses to the to the Rick Rubin thing. And don't get it twisted. Shout out to everybody all across the world. And we will
see
you
right here next week on Grift Horse.